Let me begin by saying how good it is to be here and to be with all of you. As you know, I'm a new bishop. And just recently, it appeared to me that I may have been discovered, that living for 6 months a bit incognito, where no one quite knows who you are, had ended. I was at the local Giant, and I came up to the register, and the woman there looked at me and she said, "I know you." And I thought, well, maybe it was from my visit to Hellertown, or I had been there a few weeks before, or somewhere else. And before I could answer, she said, "Yes, I saw you last night on that English program. You were the murderer." I wanted to tell her I'm only a bishop, but decided to just leave instead. I want to share with you a passage and then I'll offer some thoughts. While the desert is one way of being taken to the edge in our lives, the horizontal edge, the mountain can be another way of leading us to a vertical edge. Walking up a high ridge and looking down from the edge of a cliff 1,000 feet high or so, one knows the terror felled by creatures without wings. The abyss is both terrifying and fascinating, all in the same. These words by Belden Lang in a very thin book called Desert Spirituality and Cultural Resistance, From Ancient Monks to Mountain Refugees, has formed for me a framework for my own discovery into this season and into our scriptures today. So walk with me a bit. First, let me say I'm cognizant of our context, and we all need to know the context in which we gather. We're just about to celebrate confirmation and reception, and what a gift you are, our newest members, to us. A new narrative is unfolding in your lives, and you're inviting Christ to the center, and the stories that we hold in our hearts, they are coming anew. A new narrative built upon the calls of Moses and Jesus is before you. And we celebrate with you. We offer our support. And on Wednesday, after we've filled ourselves with pancakes, and I'm told they're called fasnots around here. Do you know those? Yeah. After we've had our fill, we'll be invited into a Holy Lent, a season of penitence and fasting. For those of you who are able to be here, Father David will invite you and say something like this: "Therefore, in the name of the church, I invite you to the observance of a Holy Lent, by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word, to make a right beginning." How we all long for right beginnings. Today, in the hearing of the Transfiguration, whether we want to go or not, we're thrust into the wilderness and up a mountain. And I implore you this season to enter the wilderness. Briefly, we heard from the book of Exodus, we hear the narrative of Moses transfigured on a mountaintop. The one who had hid his face from God now has others hiding theirs from him. For the closeness of God and to God's people is made manifest on that mountaintop. And in the gospel from Luke today, we're told that Jesus takes Peter, John, and James up on the mountain to pray. And there they experience an unimaginable intimacy. A moment where Jesus' identity is revealed. This is my son, my beloved. And for the disciples, one can only imagine that this moment, that moment, was what they held on to, that sustained them, that they looked back upon in the most gruesome, frightening, and shocking moments that were to come and that were a part of their living and loving. I'm grateful for these texts. I'm grateful for this season because I believe that our being, our inner, is crying out for the wilderness. We long for the mountain, for the desert, and the edge. One scholar says that Matthew's gospel is a mountain gospel. It's arranged around five mountain stories: the Mount of Temptation, the Mount of Beatitudes, the Mount of Feeding, the Mount of Transfiguration, the Mount of Olives. If that's the case, then probably Mark is the desert gospel. Our readings from Luke will thrust us there next week. Luke, it seems, covers all the bases, horizontal and vertical. A few more words from Belden Lane. Jesus is always pushing his disciples into places they don't want to go. Jesus operates as a wilderness guide, leading his disciples into hostile landscapes, away from the city, away from the conversations of society, reconfiguring the center. People in first century Judaism knew that everything important happened down in Jerusalem. That's where the action was. That's where political, religious power was centered, where the intelligence reigned. And if you wanted to be at the core of cultural influence, you made sure that you were in Jerusalem. But Jesus, by contrast, spends most of his ministry up in Galilee, out in the boondocks. He goes to Jerusalem only near the end of his life, and he goes there to die. The mountain is yet another place on the edge of society where the usual order of things break down, where a new and different community is formed. New rules are set up, rules that are very different from the ones that are practiced down at the bottom. Today, I invite you up a mountain, into the desert, or whatever place is your edge, and to retreat there. I believe we're yearning, you and me and our society, for the silence and the solitude, for that vast expanse of emptiness. I think we're yearning for an escape from the noise and the clutter of our culture and the ways that we're told to live. I think we yearn for a place to release all of our anxiety, our concerns, a place to form anew. And I also believe that you and I am yearning for a place to grieve, to speak. I was, for the first time today, by the way, shushed on my way in when I said hello to a youngin. They said, be quiet. Well trained here. Let me say a few words. I've been talking to congregations and communities about narratives, about their narratives, their stories, their congregational stories. I've been asking about stories about this Diocese of Bethlehem. Truth in our narrative is hard work. And I believe we need to start there, by telling our stories of truth about who we are and where we are and the places in which we live and serve. I'm reminded about 5 years ago when I was called to be the canon for mission resources in New Hampshire, the bishop there, Bishop Hirschfeld, who some of you heard if you were at the ordination, decided that he thought would be a good thing to bring me and the canon to the ordinary with him up a mountain. And it was, I believe, Moosalock, or Mount Moosalock, for those who know mountains. We have a few mountains in New Hampshire, the 4,000 footers, part of the White Mountain Range. And I felt like I was in pretty good shape. I hiked a few mountains. So I got up there, and I got halfway up, and this one was steeper, more rugged, more demanding. And I noticed my breath was leaving me a bit, and I was starting to feel it. And all I could think of was, he's trying to kill me. And what a way to orient a new person to your staff, but to bring him up a mountain. And I remember looking at the canon of the ordinary, and we were both about 20 steps or so behind him, and saying that to her, and she just nodded and said, yes, he is. And when we got to the top, beyond the fact that peanut butter and jelly sandwiches just are incredible, never tasted better after that hike, but there was an intimacy. Because whatever it was that we had at the bottom of the mountain that we were holding on to was somehow exhaled and let go of. As the physical rigors of that hike and the reminders of our own fragility and brokenness hit, in a very short time, we got closer to the core of what we needed to say for each other and what we hoped for. This season, we'll be talking about the cross. We'll be talking about an empty tomb. And we'll be talking about the resurrection. I invite you to go to that desert mountain place and to name your cross. What it is in your life that you bear, and only you bear, and name it with the truth and reality of who you are. Don't lie to the mountain skies or to the desert sand. Speak the truth. And then we need to enter the tomb, the empty tomb, and to grieve. You and I walk around with burdens and grief. You know what it is. You know what wakes you up at 4 a.m. You know where your heart aches. And grieve it. For then we come to Easter hope, to the resurrection. But we can't skip the grief. We can't jump. I invite you. We gather as a people of hope in a church that faces the daunting possibility, indeed the reality, that God is unfolding something new that you and I may not know, but it's unfolding. A new narrative. And together, I believe we're called to bear it and to witness to it here and in our communities. And if we enter that unfolding, we need to know that we must be open to its cost. If you're willing to be the outsider on the edge, if you risk to journey into the wilderness, there may even be a headlong plunge. You may feel tripped up. For this is a journey to Jerusalem, to a cross, and to the resurrection of new hope in Christ. Amen.